Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here with you all. I want to welcome the visitors that have gathered out with us. Trust that together today we have come seeking our King. I felt my mind as I thought about what to share. Thank you. This weekend, I felt my mind drawn to the story of surrounding Jesus' birth and praise God that it doesn't stay. The story moves on, and we all know that. But this morning, I want to focus mainly on some events around Jesus' birth and draw some parallels to our life from the wise men. I want to look this morning at that journey that the wise men took. From where they were to where the king, this newborn king was, and also the gifts that they brought to Jesus. We have recorded in Scripture three gifts that they brought, and I hope that we can point out that there's more that they brought than just these three gifts. I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Also want to say thank you for your prayer and support this week. This suggestion came from a good friend, and I thank you all for your support. Beginning here, Chapter 2 and verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah? For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their country another way. So, thinking this morning about these wise men and seeking their king, we can easily, in our minds, have this scenario of how all this looked and how all of it worked. In my mind, I picture a beautiful clear night when the stars were the stars are out and shining brightly, the wise men in a worshipful spirit following the star. And when they saw the star where it stopped over where the young child was, there was exceeding great joy, it says. In my mind, I often picture the wise men. They were coming to what could have been this dark and dingy stable, whether it was a barn or a cave or where this stable was, we don't know. But one thing it says here in verse 11 was that they came to a house. And whatever the case, and in whatever place this star settled, I believe it was a holy scene. And I believe it was a picture of worship. This story says two things very clearly and very loudly this morning. A soul that has little knowledge of God, like these wise men, is in a better position to meet God than a self-satisfied soul that has been well instructed in Scripture. And this is one of the things I want to focus on this morning. The comparison between the wise men and the scribes and the lawyers and the men they met. The wise men were Gentiles. They were aliens from the common people of Israel, and they were strangers to the covenants of promise. Having no hope and without God in this world, these were what I picture as simple men. Yet they saw the star and they left all to make this long and dangerous journey to present their worthy gifts at Jesus' feet. They acted on the little knowledge that they knew of the coming Messiah. On the other hand, there were in those days the chief priests, the high priests, the scribes, the lawyers, the rulers of the synagogues. And these men were very wise. They were keen students of Scripture. They knew exactly what the law said. And yet, as far as we know, they didn't have any idea or have any awareness that the Messiah was born. It was easy for them to tell the wise men instantly what the prophets had written about the birthplace of the king. But they themselves, by all appearances, were blind to the real meaning. It seemed they had a head knowledge, but their heart was not connecting with their head knowledge. And these poor, simple men had came to raise them out of their stupor, their spiritual laziness. And if they were ever awakened out of their sleep, there's little evidence to show they understood what the wise men were trying to say. They didn't know what all this excitement was about. And the second thing that is clear in this story is the wise men came to Jesus not to gain something from him, but to give something to him. And that's the other thing I want to focus on this morning. Here in verse 11, the main thing, the main other gift I want to look at that they presented, they fell down and worshiped. You know, this circumstance is so unusual in our day and age. And it's very contrary to common belief about Jesus and what he came to do. So often we look at things as what they're worth to me. What's in this for myself? And we never say that out loud, but our actions show that's what we're thinking. How could our personal walk with God change if we viewed our relationship with God like the wise men did? I think most of us can relate to the wise men in the fact that they were common people, they were simple people. But I can't always relate to them in the heart of worship that they had for this newborn king, to my shame. There's something to learn from them today. What can I bring to God rather than what does God have for me? This morning I want to take a look at this journey that they took in following the star and briefly liken it to our journey that each one of us are on. Jake mentioned this morning that we are indeed on a journey, each one of us. And at our starting point, we are all aliens from God. We are separated from God because of sin. We need to make a very important decision. And this requires a change of direction. I invite you to turn with me to Ephesians 2. We'll read verses 4 to 9. Ephesians chapter 2. This talks about this gift. I just want to touch briefly on this. This gift that God has given, the opportunity that God has given each one of us. Ephesians 2, verse 4 to 9. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This opportunity to receive Christ's cleansing is a gift. It requires a turning of our heart, a turning of our feet, and walking a total different direction. Seeking Jesus requires belief. The wise men set out because they had a belief that there was a newborn king. We're not aimlessly going through life anymore with no direction, but our course is set. We have a place in mind, and the choices we make are all directed to that choice, that most important choice. We're living with a purpose now. We're headed to meet the king. John 1, verse 12 says, "But as many receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." This suggests here that we must believe that he died for me, for you, that he rose to give us new life. And this story that we're looking at this morning should speak of life. It should speak of hope for you and I. I know these things we've heard from little up. And I don't apologize for repeating them because they are life and they are hope. And these scribes and these Pharisees that the wise men came to, I feel like sometimes we can be like them. I can be anyway. We have the head knowledge and we hear this again and it goes right over our head. Let's wake up. The king is born. He's made provisions for us that are not to be ignored. We, like the wise men, are called to look towards the star. The star was a guide for the wise men from their starting place to meet the king. And in our lives, God sets reference points for us. These points include people. They include circumstances. They include events. They include happy things. They include painful things. But can we look at the things that come to us in life that God is giving us another opportunity? And at each reference point that we have in our personal journey, there's again a decision: will I choose God? Will I follow in faith? And I'll say it's probably the more painful things in life that create the most opportunity for God. The things in life that cause us to question who we are and our place in life create the most opportunity for God to work. I think it's accurate to say that. So, this morning, what is my response to the guiding of the star? The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God, except in other scriptures it's made clear that our choice to turn away from God could. We're told the wise men were excited to see the star. They were excited to see that guidance in their life because they knew where it pointed. Are you and I equally excited for guidance in our life? As I mentioned, it doesn't always come as pain-free. But can we be excited because we know where we're headed? The fact that God cares about us personally, And Leonard mentioned this, I believe it was last Sunday. God's personal interest in each one of us, is that fact not exciting to us? God did not leave us out to wonder. He leads us personally and he leads us collectively. And just like the wise men, if we will follow that star, that guidance, that reference point that he has for us, we know it'll lead home to him. So imagine yourself this morning. We come to God. We come to church this morning with no other motive in our heart but to worship, to give God what we are, to give him our gold, our frankincense, and our myrrh, and to fall down and worship him. We're bringing what we have. Only by his grace. Are we today still seeking our Savior in this way? Or are we looking to God for what he can give us? I'm not here to minimize that. I hope you understand that it's only by his grace and what he has given us that we can return to him with gifts. But is our responsibility to God a one-way street? Does it only flow one direction? What gifts can you bring to God this morning? I think number one on the list is our heart of worship. Like the wise men, they were simple, but they had a heart of worship for the newborn king. Is the time God has given you of value to him and how we use it? I don't know how much gold the wise men gave, but in today's current value, I looked at the futures on gold, and it would be about $68,000 for 1 pound of gold in today's currency. And we know that it may not have cost that in that day that much, but we do know that it was a currency of the kings. It spoke of wealth, and it spoke of many things, but today we think of that as being of lots of value to God. But today I believe that our heart is, there is no price tag on our heart to God. He gave his life to provide a way for us. I don't believe there's any price tag that can be placed on that. He's made it clear that he wants to be our king. He wants to be our Savior. And I believe the greatest gift that you and I can give back is you and I. No matter how broken and needy that we think we are, that's what God is looking for this morning. God help us to never be that self-satisfied soul, to fall into the spiritual tiredness or lethargy like these wise people, these rulers and people in the synagogue, they had other things on their mind. They were not looking for a king. And my burden this morning is that there's so many other things that we can so easily get wrapped up in, and we forget to be excited about the second coming of our King. We forget that no man will miss the second coming. That's made clear, but we forget that we must be preparing. And life has a way of making us, or I should say, we allow life to make us tired, unalert to the things around us that are happening. God help us that we can be alert and awake like the wise men were. There's many other things I wondered about this account. Why were the wise men the only ones that followed the star? And I don't have answers for some of these things, but God help us that we could accept the leading of that star in our life. May we never lose the wonder and the awe and the excitement of this scene of the wise men following the star to their newborn king. Friends, this isn't just ancient history. This is for you and I today. We can easily read this and think, how many thousands of years ago was that? He's alive and he's making provisions for us today. And this needs to be alive in our heart. I feel especially as we witness to our community, not just this time of year, but that the wonder and the awe of this scene could be in our hearts all the time. This is our true hope in a fallen world. And I pray that each one of us could daily seek the King, that we could daily bring the gifts that we have, the gifts that He has given us, that we could daily bring them and fall down before His feet and worship Him.